began shooting in mid-September, finished shooting in mid-October, and now, a year later, the film is about to release.
Welcome to All About Jack, feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, the creator and producer of the show. All About Jack is celebrating its 10th anniversary in 2021. I'm also the author of two books related to Lewis. Learn more about them at the end of the show. On the program today, once again, is Max McLean, an award-winning actor and founder and artistic director of New York City-based Fellowship for Performing Arts. He's here to talk about the motion picture, The Most Reluctant Convert, The Untold Story of C.S. Lewis. Welcome back to All About Jack, Max.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be on your program again.
Now, first, congratulations on making your first film, which you logically star in as C.S. Lewis. While you've been a guest here on All About Jack before, summarize for those who may not have heard much about you or heard my other interviews, how much of an impact Lewis has had on your life.
Well, Lewis has been my spiritual guide from the earliest days of my conversion. I was an adult convert to Christ. You know, Lewis is a kind of a bridge between the postmodern world and Christianity. You know, most of us are raised with sort of postmodern assumptions, and they have to be broken down, not the least of which is this the only world there is, you know, or is there another world? And Lewis, his genius is he just captures the imagination about the reality of that other world in such a way that I want to go there.
Well, now, you're not the only person portraying Lewis, so tell us who the others are in The Most Reluctant Convert, as well as other actors in the film, and the role your friend Norman Stone played in making this movie a reality.
Sure, sure. Well, the movie became a reality because of COVID. Norman and I have been talking about it, the script, for about 6 months before the lockdown in March of 2020. You know, at first the lockdown was, what, 15 days to flatten the curve, remember that? You know, and I thought, well, what am I going to do for 2 weeks? Then all of a sudden, you know, the reality of a long-term shutdown on a theater company like ours was devastating. You know, we had three shows on the road, one in New York. You know, we were moving about 2,000 tickets a week, and then that went to zero. And it stayed at zero till August of 21. You know, there's like almost 18 months. So in the interim, we had to figure out what do we do? We obviously had newfound time. We put a lot of our theatrical productions on, made them virtual. We did virtual productions. We wrote a new script called a continuation of the Lewis story called Further Up, Further In. But the biggest pivot of all was moving forward with this film, because Norman and I saw this as a 22-23 project. Norman is an award-winning filmmaker with a couple of Emmys, a couple of BAFTAs. BAFTAs are the British equivalent of the Oscars. He's had a long stint with the BBC, probably made about 100 films in his life. And so we've been friends for about 10 years, all I've known of him. You know, he did the original Shadowlands for the BBC. He did the Narnia Code with Michael Ward. So he was the right person for me to talk to, and we're friends. So what he did about in June of 2020, he learned that the British government was going to open up filmmaking in August of 2020. And he felt like if we would act quickly, we could get a really good crew and a really good cast because nobody was working. Nobody worked since March. So I asked him to confirm that, and then I went to my board to see if we could get the budget to put the film in the can. We would worry about post-production and distribution later. And so got the rights from C.S. Lewis Estate and got on a plane and end of August, plane bigger than Air Force One with fewer people on it, and we went to Oxford and quarantined for a couple of weeks, began shooting in mid-September, finished shooting in mid-October, and now, a year later, the film is about to release.
Oh, very exciting. So now, who are the other actors that portray Lewis also in the film?
Well, the way the film is structured, you know, the script began as a one-person show, the most reluctant convert that's been touring since 2016. Had a long run in New York, ran for 15 weeks in New York, and toured quite a bit. But it was a one-person show. So when I sent Norman the script, he wanted to expand it and to have Lewis, the elder Lewis, I play the older Lewis, looking back on his life, particularly the events that contributed to his conversion to Christianity. And in the looking back, you're looking back into your memories. And in his memories, we have two other Lewises. We have the boy Lewis, Eddie Ray Martin, who plays Lewis from a boy till about 14. And then we have Nicholas Ralph, who stars in All Creatures Great and Small, playing the young Lewis, who goes off to war and then becomes a scholar, an Oxford Don. And it is that Lewis that we actually see the conversion from atheism to Christianity.
And then you also have other significant people in Lewis's life.
Yeah, we have Kirkpatrick. We have his mom, Albert and Flora, Lewis's mom and dad. We have Tolkien, Barfield, Dyson. Yeah, it's a good group of actors. I mean, the production is pretty big. We had 17 actors in 18 different locations all around Oxford. 190 extras, I think, 240 costumes. So it was a pretty significant production and beautifully filmed. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, if you're spending 3 days in modeling college at the kilns all over Oxford, you're going to have good footage.
Yes, and because I'll be doing a review sometime after we post this interview, I've had a chance to see the movie. The background of the cinematography, as they say, very, very, very good. Very, very enjoyable. Well, now you were noting about some of the challenges as well as the process there, but let's maybe touch on that a little bit more. You know, as obviously the pandemic impacted it in negative ways, but then you were just noting, you know, in positive ways that you were able to actually do this sooner than planned. But so overall, talk some more about maybe the experience of that month as to where, you know, there were challenges, but then the process was also quite enjoyable.
Well, the process was great. We were all in Oxford. We hired for the film crew and the actors a manor house about 7 miles outside of Oxford that we could all be together, but quarantined. We had to take a myriad of COVID tests, and quite frankly, a single positive test with contact tracing could have shut down the production for several weeks, and the cost of that would have been almost insurmountable. Gratefully to the Lord, you know, we got through the whole shoot with all the COVID tests that we took. I was tested probably every 3 days. You know, we didn't have a single positive. And there was, you know, there's pretty good sized crew and cast. You know, if you had 17 actors, all those extras, they all had to be tested. And all the crew and the design team. So that was a real blessing.
Oh, excellent. Now, you were already noting, but I wanted the listeners to understand that, in terms of this being a adaptation of the stage play, Most Reluctant Convert. So go ahead and talk maybe a little bit more about in ways in which the movie is similar and yet different than the stage play.
Well, the stage play is based primarily on Lewis's autobiography, Surprised by Joy. It does use other sources, Mere Christianity, Problem of Pain, Weight of Glory, and many others, God in the Dock, are part of the text. And one of the, I think the great assets of the film is most of the words, almost all of them are Lewis's words. I mean, you're hearing, you know, the extraordinary poetic prose of one of the greatest writers of all time. And so that is good. And that's the essence of the play. The movie takes the play and expands it into film. It's, you know, at its center, you're still hearing Lewis recount his story. So in many ways, it's testimony. It's this is how I came to Christ. You know, once I was this, now I'm that. And but it has the advantage of lifting his dream, you know, his recollections, and filmically making it real. So we have the Addison's Walk scene, You know, we have his time with Kirkpatrick. We have the fact that, you know, what contributed to Lewis's atheism were many things, not the least of which was the death of his mother. You know, at I guess he was 9 years old. He had a terrible relationship with his father, which he says he regrets to the, you know, he regretted to the end of his life. He saw the just the brutality, the butchery of World War One. He experienced it. He said, you know, it just devastated him, you know. And of course, I think in terms of the post-Christian world, the postmodern world, I don't know how much people realize the impact of World War One into, you know, the diminishing, I suppose, of the Christian worldview. For strange reasons, it was part of the excuse, you know, the reason for having it. And so therefore, you know, we moved into a much more secular place, which I think, as you and I both would say, made things 10 times worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, while sharing about the movie on social media, the most common questions I've seen are the following. And so I was hoping you can address them. I'm aware in general about them, but let's hear you share about. So the questions are, why one night, why so few cities, and when will it be shown outside of the United States?
Well, I don't know if it's very few cities. It's pretty broadly based. I think it's nationwide. The footprint's pretty broad. If you go to the website, cslewismovie.com, and plug in a zip code, you'll probably find a theater with pretty close to you. As for one night, well, we are a first-time filmmaker. We have no track record in film. The movie chains that we work with, Regal, AMC, Cinemark, you know, kind of put us on a prove-it deal and, you know, gave us one night, November 3rd, to prove it. They did say that they will, they will add cities, they will add showings, and they may even add encore performances. So so far, tickets are selling very well, which I'm very pleased about. And I've noticed that they've added lots of screens and lots of cities, and so I anticipate they'll probably be adding some encore performances too.
Right, yeah, and before we started recording, we were noting that for me, living in Morgantown, West Virginia, Pittsburgh is on a practical level the most the closest one. And initially, there was one theater, one showing, and we didn't go into this when we were chatting beforehand, but they had very few seats. I want to say it was like only like a 30 seat location, and so they have since then added another showing and then another theater, which I didn't get a chance to see how many seats are available, and then they also had posted a encore performance or showing past November the 3rd, and by the time this is posted, or even before November the 3rd, other things may develop, so we encourage people who are especially listening to this before November the 3rd to check, you know, daily if it's not yet quite close enough, or if it's full, keep checking, as well as then once you know down the road after this is this podcast has been posted for a while, there's probably the video release. It's too soon to talk about a video release, I'm sure, but where are things at this moment? It's October the 14th, 2021. How does it look in terms of outside of the U.S.? How are those negotiations going?
I think we just added 43 cinemas in Canada this week. So that was the first thing. I mean, these things are sort of out of my control in terms of any kind of decision-making I have. I do think that if it sells well in the United States, then things will open up worldwide. You know, and it is selling well in the United States. So given that, I think people can be expectant about having the ability, particularly in English-speaking countries, to see it. You know, and I have to admit, too, because of our contractual agreement with the movie chains, we're not supposed to talk about anything beyond November 3rd. Okay. You know, because they want to make sure everybody is concentrating on that date.
Sure. And on a practical level, and I know I was talking with a friend of mine who was noting that, you know, in addition to, you know, movie houses being willing to show on mm-hmm. your end or those involved in actually making copies of it, that are, there's a cost involved in that. And so there's, you know, there's the willingness to show, and then the financial ability to give them a copy of the movie to show. So people don't realize it's very, very complex. You just can't.
Yeah, we have to deliver the film to them in various formats. That's true. And of course they have to provide the theater, you know, which is their, you know, that's their obligation. And they don't give that away willy nilly, you know, especially if you have a Bond movie, which is out, you know, you have Marvel movies coming out, and that's what they want to make room for. And, you know, they don't pay too much attention to a first time independent filmmaker. So, but having said all of that, they have been cooperative based on the response so far, you know, as people responded to the film, in terms of buying advance tickets, which, you know, is what's required. They've been adding shows, adding screens, adding cities.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Yeah. So for those of you who are listening to this podcast after November 3rd, then, be aware, and I'll have links, in the show notes for any information that can be shared. Again, as Max was noting, they're focusing on that. And so other news will be developing maybe up in, before then, but definitely some things will be revealed afterwards, especially as there's more sales than it shows the theater change, that there is the interest. So very good. That's good to know. I hope that clarifies, because that's, again, well, you know, some of the most common questions as to, you know, why just the one night and such. But there's one additional question, though, that's also was pretty common. And that is, I've seen a few people wondering if the movie is appropriate for children, with mentioning of specific ages, like one person said, like a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, 11-year-old. What would your advice be? Having seen the movie, I know it's very family friendly, but in terms of
In terms of the direct audience, it was produced for an adult audience, mostly because of the content, the language. Not that it's bad language, it's just intense language. It's Lewis language. We have a frequently asked questions page on our website, which I would refer people to at cslewismovie.com. It states 13. The film hasn't been rated, but I would say, because the level of language, you know, every time you use the word language, you're always thinking bad language. That's right, not it at all.
Well, the complexity, I guess.
The complexity. Yeah. Thank you very much, Bill. The complexity of it, that we put 13 and over. Mm-hmm. It's a recommendation. It's certainly not mandated. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, my next question might also tease out a better understanding as to, you know, why that would be in terms of a 13 and older. And that is, I noticed that an article in Christianity Today that was posted earlier this month, October 2021, says, you know, you star, quote, as an aging Lewis reflecting on his life, close quote, which you already had mentioned at the top here. But anyway, so, you know, this being a stage play, which was adapted into a movie, you are, you know, narrating the story throughout. So the question then is, how would you respond to someone who says, you know, why are you telling the story as opposed to showing it? Or what's the mix that you do in terms of telling and showing?
Well, I think we were focused on Lewis's experience. We wanted Lewis to tell his own story. You know, it's his testimony.
And, you know, this will be noticed when people actually see the movie. And that is, you are narrating it, but it is fully dramatized. But and I guess one of the things I was commenting to a friend in terms of that, the amount of ground that you cover, it's essentially a 30-year time period, because it's not, you know, all of his young life. But then, when you're covering so much ground, and the fact that it is from a stage play, in terms of being able to, get a movie done in the short of time and such that if you were to fully dramatize it and not rely as much on the narration as you do, then the movie would be probably twice as long or much longer than what people would want. So I think in terms of the efficiency of getting the information out there is probably factors that bore into how you presented it. Would you say that's true, or how would you?
That's a factor. That is an efficiency factor. That wasn't necessarily the reason. I mean, the movie. I think the range of the movie is 1908 to Christmas 1931. So from Lewis's being from 9 years old to 32 years old, and that's why you have the three Lewises played. I think people would stay with it if it were longer. If we wanted to expand it, I do think people would stay with it. Many people have been surprised how quickly it flows.
And again, having seen it, it is quite good, and it's a very, very reliable. There's a lot of, licensed different movies can make when they do a biopicture. But like you were noting in terms of Lewis's words, they're just all over the place there. It's what is driving the movie. So you know that it's, very accurate, very, very factual. Well, now, turning a corner, per se, or one of the things I noticed, I don't know if it had just happened in the last day or so before we started this recording, but there's a study guide that people can also use or utilize to help enjoy the movie or to share with a friend to help them enjoy it more. Can you speak some about that study guide?
Yeah, the study guide is just terrific. It was produced by our friend Devin Brown at Asbury College, professor of English, a great C.S. Lewis scholar, the author of A Life Observed, one of the best biographies of Lewis, which was very helpful in helping me craft the one-man play, Most Reluctant Convert, and therefore was useful in the movie. I highly recommend it. It's a great way to follow up the film.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I love the way he sets up a quote from the movie, and then I don't have the guide in front of me now, so I'm going on memory. But then he has some type of question to help process things, and then he gives, if you want more details about this part of Lewis's
about
life,
that thought.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah,
thought,
he built the study guide by watching the film. Mm-hmm. So that it really does go further in.
Of course, that's available on the website. But let's go ahead, and even though you've mentioned it before, and the link will be in the show notes. Go ahead and talk about in terms of where people can go to learn more about the movie and other projects that Fellowship for Performing Arts.
Oh, sure. CSLewisMovie.com is all about the film locations. You can watch the trailer. You can, see the study guide, the frequently asked questions. As for our stage plays, because we also have a national tour of The Great Divorce around the country you can find out more about that. You can go to thegreatdivorceonstage.com. That tells about where that will be. And I think in November, I think we're in Grand Rapids, St. Louis, Indianapolis, and Cleveland in December.
Excellent production. You had that in Pittsburgh just before the pandemic. I think the pandemic was it was definitely
weeks away. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very, very short time and very excellent. Stage production, and which you also did a virtual version, last year, and that was a great adaptation of it. But seeing it live on stage is a great thing that I hope people will avail themselves of. Well, now going back to the movie and thinking about Hollywood and making movies and stuff. Now, while back in the 90s, Shadowlands came out in addition to the BBC version. Well, any opinion in terms of why you think Hollywood hasn't done another biopic on Lewis?
No, I really haven't thought about it. I understand that Netflix has picked up the option for Narnia, but I haven't heard anything about when it's going to be made. Yeah, I don't really know, you know, in terms of that would be inside information I don't have.
Sure. Well, I guess part of the reason in terms of the question, I was thinking that as you were noting, there's a certain financial commitment that's involved in making a movie, and then people want to, you know, not lose money on it. While you're not just making this to, you know, make, you know, a bunch of money, you have to be able to at least break even. And so I guess I was thinking in terms of, you know, with Hollywood, that they want to know that something is going to sell, and they may see that, okay, well, we've kind of covered it and whatnot. But I guess in terms of, you know, just the commentary on that, as well as hoping that when people see the response to the movie that you've done, that will elicit more interest in people wanting to do things on Lewis and such. So
that could be the case. That could be the case. Yes. I hope so.
Yes. Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. Because I mean, he's got a lot of works out there. There's, you know, many different things. The, you know, a movie version of The Great Divorce would be, you know, excellent. That's a much shorter work. And then you've been doing the stage play about the Screwtape Letters. And I know in the interview that you did with Pints with Jack, I think you said that the Screwtape Letters would be something you would love to adapt for a motion picture.
I would. I mean, it'd be very, very challenging. But that would be, I think it would be a tremendous contribution to, you know, because the book itself was, you know, Lewis is talking about his own battles with spiritual warfare and temptation. He put it in a book. It's helped so many people. And to be true to the book, but still to be able to make it more would be, I think would be a great, great contribution to Lewis's legacy.
Yes, most definitely. Well, that's that leads me perfectly into the final question. The way I worded it, you've gone ahead and touched on some of the aspects of this question here, but I'll go ahead and say it as I had it planned, and that is, let's have you share about what's ahead for Fellowship for Performing Arts. More movies, new stage productions, continuing tour of old favorites, all of the above, or we can jokingly say none of the above. You're going to retire after this makes $1 million.
I mean, it's going to be very challenging to recoup the cost of the film. You know, we're a not-for-profit theatrical production company, so that's our mission: produce theater film from a Christian worldview, meant to engage a diverse audience. We'll continue to do that, both for theater, both for film. The one person play the most reluctant convert will tour again and does a lot in colleges and universities. We're doing a follow-up piece called Further Up, Further In, which I think the premise of the piece is that when Lewis converted, it wasn't obvious that he would become. Nobody knew that, you know, 40 years later, he would become the most influential Christian writer of the 20th century, and not just the 20th century, but beyond. And so it is really something that, you know, we want to continue doing. Norman Stone and I, we've had a really great experience working on this film. And so we're making plans for another film in terms of reading scripts and coming to terms with what would be our next project. A lot of it is rights issues and those sort of things, but we do have some things in mind that we hope to announce down the road a little bit.
Oh, great. Well, we look forward to that, and hopefully we can have you back on the show as other projects develop and can be announced. Yeah, because, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is, you know, it's, or they don't often think about, they may realize on one level, but maybe not so clearly, that, you know, you just can't take, you know, what's on the page, what's written, and then it has to be translated or adapted for, you know, stage, and then a movie version is different. And those things don't just happen at a snap of a finger, do they?
No, they really don't. It's very challenging work.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, Max, thank you so much for sharing about The Most Reluctant Convert, a movie that is going to be out in the United States November 3rd. There could be some encore performances. Be looking for that, as well as if you're listening to this after the fact. Yeah, there may be some other dates as well as other locations, and then down the road, video release or maybe on a streaming and such. We will keep you updated as we have that information. So keep tuning into All About Jack and the website, EssentialCSLewis.com. Well, Max, thanks for being on the show today again.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you.
Also, thanks goes to you, the listener, for listening to this episode of All About Jack, a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, I'm William O'Flaherty, your host, as well as the creator and producer of this podcast. All About Jack is celebrating 10 years of podcasting in 2021. Be sure to visit Essential C.S. Lewis for a variety of content, including various articles about quotations credited to Lewis that he might not have written. Also, consider checking out my YouTube channel, Knowing and Understanding C.S. Lewis. There's a link in the show notes to it. Today you heard an interview with Max McLean from Fellowship for Performing Arts about the motion picture version of The Most Reluctant Convert, scheduled for release in the United States on November 3rd, 2021. You'll find a link in the show notes to the website, cslewismovie.com, as well as a link to Fellowship for Performing Arts to keep up with Max and his work overall. Plus, there are links to two previous interviews I did with him from 2013 and 2019. Speaking of those notes, you can find them at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for this show. But it might be just as easy to find them where the podcast is hosted, which is allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. You can also listen to All About Jack via iTunes, see the show notes for a direct link to it there, and consider rating my show on iTunes to help others find it. And of course, please consider sharing this show so others can hear it. Before closing out, in case you didn't know, I've written two books related to C.S. Lewis. Buying them is a great way to indirectly support this podcast, so it can continue to be made freely available. In 2018, The Misquotable C.S. Lewis was published. It explores 75 quotations credited to Lewis. Most are not by him, some are paraphrases, and a few are ones that could be misunderstood without more context. Then in 2016, my first book was released. It's an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters, humorously called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. Learn more about it and get a free PDF sample by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.